Are you ready to ignite your business and achieve your full potential? Welcome to Building Success Stories, the podcast that empowers entrepreneurs and business leaders. I'm Ann Donnelly, and I've spent over four decades in the business world. I've witnessed the power of perseverance, innovation, and strategic thinking firsthand. We'll explore the stories of successful entrepreneurs and business leaders, and we'll delve into the practical strategies and mindset shifts that can propel your business to new heights. Get ready to be inspired and motivated to take your business to the next level.
There's been this woman in the Glens Falls area that when I'm talking to people, they always say, "Do you know Wendy Waldron?" And they always say, "You should meet Wendy Waldron." And I'm like, "I know Wendy Waldron, but we haven't had a chance to sit down and have a talk." So we're very lucky today, even though it's virtual, that I'm getting to speak with Wendy Waldron, CEO of Waldron Works. So welcome, Wendy.
Oh, thanks so much, Anne. I do appreciate your time. And I would introduce you the same way. You must know Anne,
you.
Right?
Thank you. Mutual appreciation. Mm-hmm. That's always good. So I'm very lucky to have a lot of wonderful women around me. And if you listen to this podcast, there's been a lot of women lately, and it's not intentional, but it's just I'm around a lot of great women. And so they've been great subjects to have on here. So I'm very lucky.
There are a lot of wonderful people around. It only makes sense that about half of them are women.
Right. So I am really excited to hear more about how you got to where you are now. So you're CEO of Waldron Works, you're an independent consultant, but you weren't always, you were in the corporate world for a while. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got from there to here?
Sure. So I actually start my story way back. I say that when I'm asked, I'll say that I'm actually just a grown-up Girl Scout. It happened that I worked in corporate-y nonprofits for a long time, but I really was a Girl Scout. I sold the cookies, and I sold those cookies by the case because it was easier. And so I won all the prizes. And then the next year, I taught all my little Girl Scout friends to sell them by the case whenever they could. And then we all won the prizes. So my little six-year-old brain thought, this is pretty cool. I got a pizza party out of this deal. We just have to really make sure we understand what the rules of the game are and then stick together and find a way to go win the game. And so in a way, I've pretty much been doing that ever since. We translate that to business language, and we talk about team building and growing businesses and understanding process and understanding the things that get in our own way, the beliefs that just aren't helpful to us. So that's really my beginning story. I grew up here in Queensbury. I got a scholarship to Colgate University. My world was forever different there. We had a wonderful community growing up, but just the definition of opportunity. I wasn't really bright enough to understand at the time that I didn't have to work as hard as I did. So on that scholarship, I could have worked for 3 hours a week at the bookstore, you know, sell t-shirts or, I don't know, clean up after breakfast. But I took on a building with 180 first-year students and a staff of six, hiring, firing, deliverables, budgets, all of that. And I was trained to do that. And so I just thought that everybody was. You know, there was a way that this was such a natural path for me and that I had such, as you said, great people around me. I had the mentors and the people that were leading me and the opportunities. So it just was what I did. I got adventurous for a while and took a year and went to Mozambique, Africa, where I volunteered there. Just, again, such a mind-opening experience and such perspective to bring back to our own community, our own work. When I came back, it was a personal transition point there, and I was just about immediately introduced to a guy at a wedding who would become my guy at my wedding for a long time after that. And he lived in the middle of nowhere in northern central Pennsylvania, south of Elmira, New York. And so I went to a temp agency, and I just asked them to place me in their largest client. That's how I landed in healthcare. I was at the front desk with a day and a half training, trying to figure out if I pressed F11 or F9, and I had no idea what I was doing. And it was the worst job ever because none of the systems were they weren't supposed to work. They couldn't possibly work. We know, US healthcare has been challenging for some time. And the front desk, that's no different. So a couple of years later, I was running their cardiology and cardiothoracic surgery departments. That was at Guthrie Health. And I found a way then to put the natural instincts and training together. And in that context, was recruited back home by Hudson Headwaters to grow their ancillary services. We put behavioral health care in primary care for the first time. It was sort of a groundbreaking thing to co-locate those services so that there was just less stigma. It was easier to do. And then I joined the C.R. Wood Cancer Center, where we worked all kinds of projects and leadership. After I left, I was there the better part of a decade. It was a wonderful, wonderful organization and a great part of our community. And we were able to transition from the founding father. Essentially, he retired his wife and others along, and so there was kind of a changing of the guard. We moved from paper to electronic, and then a different electronic. So all of that was what brought me to a point in 2018 where it was time for another transition. And in 2018, Anne, I realized that it was really just by accident of that temp job that the context of my work was healthcare. But what I had always done was to build teams and grow businesses and move people together. So I started doing that for local businesses that were not healthcare. Kind of on a whim, maybe a dream. I founded Waldron Works, I say, with a DBA and a dream. Until I could get a real job. But that was what my thinking at the time, because I had just been so programmed that it worked for me, right? I learned the way they taught in school, and I got a scholarship, and then I worked hard, and then I was promoted, and that had just had been working, and there was security there. But here's the thing, there wasn't security. So if there was no security in working in a flagship service line of the biggest employer in the area, then maybe there wasn't the risk that I perceived in owning my own business. So both couldn't be true. So I took a chance, and Waldron Works was born.
That's so exciting. One of the things you say, and it's something that we have in common, is that you just didn't think there was another way. You just saw it that way. I think mine came from survival technique. My parents were not self-employed. We were kind of at risk, not terrible risk, you know what I mean? But like I was like, I'm going to college, I'm working really hard, I'm doing stuff. What do you think drove you to that? Like some people it's modeled by your parents, and other people it's like you're running away from whatever was there.
Drove me to entrepreneurship.
Yeah, or just to no, but always driving yourself
Always the driving.
to do
I mean,
better.
honestly, I think it comes from knowing hard work, from seeing my parents go to work every day and knowing how hard they were really working, and that this life doesn't come easily, that it can be a beautiful world, but like it's that old joke about if you want to win the lottery, then you have to buy a ticket. So buy your ticket, go to work, come on.
Getting
And
in,
so
yeah.
for me, that striving, some of it was I just get bored easily and I really need challenges and I need to be learning. Some of it is excitement about, look at this big, beautiful world. And I choose to live in a lovely corner of it where my family's been forever. But it really is just a tiny little corner up here in our mountains. So I think for me, it's always also been about just finding what's next and what the world has to offer.
And perhaps also one of the things I think is that you see the possibilities that other
Oh
people
gosh,
may
yeah.
not see. And like, because I've said this to people too, is like, oh, why don't you do this with your business? And they're like, wow, I never thought of that. You
Yeah,
know?
sometimes folks will say that to me that I see the possibilities or I have the vision or I have so many ideas. And I think, well, yeah, of course I do. I just have to to sort through them quickly enough and move forward. What I've learned, and part of what we teach in EOS, is that that is a particular sort of personality, and that we need to make sure that in order to capitalize on and truly gain the benefit of all of our idea people, that we need to build structure around them. So I know, for example, that I'm not great at following through. I'm good enough at following through, like following a process or making sure it's 100% done, not 95% done. That's just not my strength. So I try to surround myself with people who are really good at that, who will hold me to task if there's something that I've done 95% of the way, so that we can work together that way and just value each other's strengths.
That's a great point, because as self-employed entrepreneurs, it's all the time it's motivating yourself. So where do you find people to help keep you accountable and to keep you on track?
Yeah. Well, one of the ways in which we've crossed paths, Anne, is with the ARCC's Women's Business Council. For me, in the beginning, it was a huge change to go from truly one of the largest employers in the area. We joked that I would interact with more people by the time I got to my desk, than most people do all day. Because I'd take the long way and I'd make sure to talk to everybody and collect my team and make sure that we were, heading that direction. So, partly for me, being independent was pretty lonely, and I didn't have those guardrails, and I didn't have that sense of just seeing people and of knowing that it was somebody's birthday and of hearing, hearing more input there. So I sought out community, and we all kind of have co-created that community through the WBC. So that's been a big part of it.
Yeah.
Specifically, there is something about making sure, for example, when I hired an assistant, making sure that our work styles were complementary. And some of that is just in paying attention to those times in the past when, for me or for anybody, when we've been on a team that just felt right. So what was it about that team? Maybe you had a partner or a coworker or a small group, and you could count on one person for the ideas and the other to follow it through and somebody else to be the naysayer. And you need all of that. So when did that work, and therefore, what do you need? That's a great way to think about it too.
Yeah, that's a great point. So through the years, like you were constantly growing and learning and applying that to what you're doing and continuously just growing from job to
Oh
job.
yeah. I don't know how to do it any other way. It's just so boring. You know, not that you can't. We've all had jobs that were sort of the same as the last one.
You didn't ever say like, I couldn't do that, or that's too much of a challenge, or
Oh, haven't we all, right? I mean, haven't we all, like every day? Who am I to think that I could have my own company and that people would, what, like pay me for my brilliance?
how
What
do
value could
you
I possibly bring, right? All the time. Yeah, all the time.
how do you keep going? How do you keep that co level of confidence on a continuous basis?
Maybe it's a great question, right? I mean, because we do all struggle with it. And how do you struggle less with it? So for me, it's a lot like other things. You know, do I really think that that statement is true? Taking it out of my head. And so if I say, if I'm fearful about leading a group or stepping into a new situation, or got a phone call with someone who has been introduced to me and is thinking of hiring me, and maybe I've got the jitters, right? I can think, well, what am I telling myself, and is that true or not? So am I telling myself that they're never gonna think I have any value to bring to their organization? Well, why am I saying that? Why would that be true? If I've been introduced by a trusted person to them, then in fact they're going to think quite the opposite, or they wouldn't be wasting their time. So if they think that, then why do I not think that? What voice am I listening to, or what fear? And then, just do it anyway. So I think sometimes it's about reflection for me. Other times it's about really digging for the truth. Is that the issue? I say that all the time. Is that the real issue? Is that really what we're talking about or challenged by? And then sometimes you're like, so what? Just do it anyway. So you're scared. It's like
I
a
love
physical challenge.
that.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
I love to swim in the ocean, warm water ocean. And I remember our first trip, first big trip, and we were in the Pacific Ocean, and we were on a kayaking excursion. Also love to kayak. Somehow that it's just a leveler playing field for me in the water. So there were people jumping off these cliffs, and I thought that looked super scary and also so cool. And I wondered if that was, if you needed a guide for that, or where were they? How could I figure to do that? And our guide said, well, you can if you want. We're going to be passing by. There's a group there now, but we'll go back and we'll come back through. So think about it. And if you want to, I don't have time for you to, like hem and haw about it. But when I ask you, when we come back this way, you just, ditch your canoe, your kayak, and we'll hang on to it. And you go climb up there and you jump off the rocks. So I was fine until about 2 steps from the top. No problem. I was not going to let this opportunity go by. But I had been climbing all the way up and it did feel kind of high. And now I look down and there were rocks and splashing waves. But I knew that there were only 2 ways down. I either had to jump or climb back down these slippery rocks, with my head hung, my tail between my legs. Or I could jump, like I said, I wanted to. So I jumped and it was amazing. It was great. I'm so glad I did.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
love the
I don't
story.
know. Like, and I mean, is there any time that you can remember when you took a risk and you wish you hadn't, or at least on balance? I think we regret the things we don't do.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. And that is what drives me, I feel. I don't
Yeah.
like the regrets. I don't like, oh, I wished I had done that, because then that opportunity is gone. And I've tried to teach my children that. I put my children in all sorts of situations, like getting them on TV and things like that, just because I
Yeah.
want them to experience things. And now they are doing things like that.
Yeah.
I do say grab the opportunities, don't have the regrets. I love that.
If somebody is doing it, then it could be you, or maybe it couldn't be, but at least let's know why, rather
Yeah.
than just telling ourselves a story that's a bunch of head trash and gets in our way of living a great life.
Yeah. Because it's not about doing things just because you think you should do them. It's things that
Oh gosh.
you want to do, and that are part of like your overall grand plan. I think some people confuse those things.
Oh, for the first half of my life, I did. I mean, decades.
I mean, it's easy
Decades of
for
being a
us,
grown-up Girl Scout doing
right?
what I
It's
thought I was
easy.
supposed to do. Heck yeah. Oh
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. And it's easy for us to reflect back on this. But I do think that whatever it is that's in us has been pushing us all this time, and
Yeah.
hopefully helped other people along the way also. So let's go back to 2018, when Waldron Works was DBA, just getting started. What were some of the challenges you faced? Because it's a totally different world to where you were,
Sure.
besides the loneliness and,
Yeah, it was, I think there was some sense of, well, what am I really going to do? And so, what packages would I be selling, or what, how do I put this together? There at the time, anyway, I had the sense that being a consultant was a little bit icky. There was, like a coach of what? And so I needed to maybe convince myself before I could talk with anybody else. But, some of those challenges, I think they were right away diminished a bit because there was interest in what I was talking about. So I with a that DBA in a dream and a Vistaprint business card that I put on Facebook, I got a phone call or two, and people actually wanted my help. And so in some ways they told me what they saw, and they saw things that, because I had been living that life, I truly did sort of take for granted that people knew how to do the things that I had been doing in running businesses. So I had been an intrapreneur and I didn't see the skills that I had. So identifying the skills that I had, identifying how they would be accessible to somebody else, and then figuring out just the things that you do when you're helping someone identify a marketing plan. Who should you be talking to? What do they need to hear from you? So there was that. There were the logistical things. I remember the day I set up a desk in my home because I didn't have one. Why would you have one? I didn't have one. I remember things like upgrading our home internet service, 2018, right? So pre-pandemic, pre-normalcy of Zoom, at least in many industries. So just figuring all of that out, even pre-work from home in some places, banks and everybody did it after a while, but at first we were not. So certainly not in 2018. So those are the things that I think of, and also just time management. So there was a way Anne, in which I kind of felt like that first day of college where I didn't have someone telling me to be at school at 7:52 and that I would be released from school at 2:03. That sort of structure wasn't there. In the same way, I didn't have someone saying that I needed to be there at 8 o'clock and me knowing that I wanted to be one of the last ones out. And so I got my whole day back and I needed to figure out how I would fill it productively, and in a way that was enjoyable, that I was establishing the rhythm of my days and of my life. And so there's a real challenge there too.
Yeah, it does take some time and different methods, I think, of trying. And
Sure.
how old is your daughter?
She's 12 now.
So you
And
had
so,
a child when you
yeah,
started
she was
this.
kindergarten, I think, first grade.
Yeah. So sometimes that's a challenge in
Oh, yeah.
itself and like being present when you're with your children versus bringing your work home with you.
All
Because
the
I know
time, if you can work from your phone, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
and you probably did that when you were working in at the hospital also, because I just know how you are, and I'm
Yeah.
the same. But when it's your own business, then it's even harder than to, and you're working from home, it
Well,
is
and
harder
in the
to get
beginning, and for some time, when you're working for a long time and there's not a heck of a lot of income. And so that balance, of course, there was some right away, but figuring out the balance, as you point out, as a parent, does that mean that I'm going to, are we paying for childcare? Or am I asking, with lots of family, they've been wonderful, am I imposing or am I role modeling? And just getting out of my own head about that and just make a decision and go, just go, just do the thing and then stop and reflect later, periodically. For sure, but to not second guess myself every day. Yeah, that was for sure a challenge in the beginning.
Yeah, that's good. That seems like you've done it, but I think a lot of women have that challenge. And talking to, like, I, in some ways, I do wish I had spent more time more focused on the children and less time on the business, but I didn't have an option really. So, and I wasn't living where I had family that could help out. But it, like we said, shouldn't have regrets, and I don't regret anything that I've done. But when I do talk to young moms now, I do often say that, like really do consider the, and if you are, just make sure that the time that you do spend with your children, that you are present with them, which is takes practice to get to that spot, but it's
Yeah.
important.
And I think it requires being present with ourselves. We're not so often that treadmill of get up and go to work and do the things and make the dinner and pack the bags and like on and on and on. It can be sort of a long-term numbing that happens. And you can see where you want to be. You can see who you want to be. You just can't quite get there because, again, with dinner and the dishes and the bags and the things, right? So, yeah, there really is something of an awakening there too.
Yeah. And you don't want to be on autopilot.
No,
right? You want to be
but a
enjoying
whole lot of us are, right? It's
it.
easy to slip into.
It is easy. Like even when like you're living the dream of having your
Oh,
own business and like, and I find one thing I've learned, but it's taken me more than 50 years to learn this, that if I'm having resistance to something, like, oh, I don't want to do that, there's a reason. And that's when you stop and check in. I think a lot of people haven't figured this out yet, but that's when you
you're
stop and check.
right.
Don't beat yourself up
Yeah,
over
that's
it.
right.
Stop and say, maybe this, I shouldn't be doing this, or maybe I need to leave this and come back to it rather than beating yourself, you know, because you call
Yeah.
yourself, I'm a procrastinator. I'm a, you know, and it's like, no, there's reasonings behind this. What is going on there? And it is
Sure.
important to check in with yourself and figure that
And
out.
listen. Yeah, trust yourself.
Yeah, like you said, listen to yourself, be present with yourself. That's great
Yeah.
advice.
Yeah.
So then you were Waldron Works was going well, getting lots of clients, and you've taken on now EOS. So tell us a
Yeah.
bit about it and your decision to join in with EOS and use the EOS methodology.
Yeah, so EOS, it stands for the Entrepreneurial Operating System. Entrepreneurial Operating System. It's not software. It is just organizing, harnessing human energy. So, created by Gino Wickman. And Gino's a real guy. He's in Detroit and still publishing books and leading entrepreneurs. I bring it up right away because it came up right away for me. I immediately wanted not to just make it up. If I was working with someone, with a leadership team or with individual leaders and executive coaching, I wanted a toolbox or a model or something that I was following. Maybe part of that is maybe that I had always been part of larger structures and I sought that out. So started reconnecting with people. In fact, it was a woman that I went to Colgate with, was involved with EOS, one of the she was among the first people that were helping Gino to build a company from his model. So what it is, the entrepreneurial operating system, is exactly what I was looking for. Simple, practical tools in a process that's been proven by thousands of companies. So we're really talking about nuts and bolts, how to lead, how to manage, how to grow an organization. So in such a way that you are a little less frazzled and you get more results. You don't feel stuck at the plateaus along the way, but you know how to move past them. You have tools to use. There's a misconception, I think, that leadership just comes to somebody, that there are just people that are good at that and people that are not. And while, of course, we all have natural gifts, it is also true that we learn to walk, we learn to talk, and we can learn how we interact with people when we are a little bit more aware and when we can have that self-awareness too. So I was looking for a toolbox. And, EOS was honestly the simplest, most impressive one that I found. I knew right away. There's a book called Traction, that, let's see. I have moved it. I must have given my copy, but I keep, here it is. So I read this copy. This Traction is dog-eared by now. So this is Traction. Traction is the book that Gino published. And in it, he describes the ways that we do three things. We do three things with leadership teams of privately held companies, growth-oriented companies. Vision is one, so we make sure everybody's on the same page. Some of that, of course, is vision looking forward. Some of it, though, is also if you've got a group of 15 people and two of them aren't sleeping at night and one of them is one foot out the door, then we're not all on the same page. And we're going to run into that just all the time. Every conversation, it's going to come up in ways that we don't expect. So getting everybody on the same page. Traction is about accountability and discipline so that hope is not a plan. We like to think it is, but it's just not. What do we actually plan on doing? And therefore, we could predict what our teammate is going to do. And we are all actually rowing in the same direction in that boat, getting somewhere, that discipline and accountability can exist in a high trust environment. That trust is the basis of healthy. So vision, traction, and healthy. Healthy is that it's a healthy work environment. Healthy is that you enjoy getting things done together. You don't have to be best friends, but you do find satisfaction, and it's an easier way to make a team. You don't have the politics. You don't have the meeting before the meeting after the meeting, but rather we're just all moving in the same direction. So as I read through it, I was, like I said, having flashbacks to those times in my career when things had gone really well and I could see exactly what I had done right. And I wish I'd known before. I could have done even more of that. And those times when I had flopped entirely hadn't always been roses. So what were those times when it just did not go well? And I saw right away what I could have done differently there too. And I knew that this was the best that I could bring to my hometown. It was the world-class coaching for businesses that I could bring here and model my own practice after. So that again, it was proven. I wasn't just making something up and hoping people trusted me and hoping that I was right. But rather I could use my experiences to color in between those lines. But this solid tools and process would be where we'd start together.
That's great. And does it give you like a community of other people, so you feel less alone in what you're doing because you've got the US community of other implementators and
yes,
people?
Yes, we are now at 842. We live by our core values. I could call any of them up. And just like it'll be all of us teach our clients, we meet quarterly, come up out of the weeds, take a look around. So I'm with that community often. It also means that I bring all of that to my practice based in Glens Falls. And, you know, I'm working up and down the Eastern Seaboard as people have friends and such. But my intention is to focus as much as I can right here so that we all benefit from all of those people and all of that experience. It's just a wealth of resource for our community, for our business community. So I appreciate you asking about that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, and they even let me in. They let me come play too.
So we've talked about the WBC, the Women's Business Council, and a lot of people recently have talked to me about the importance of networking. Do you find that that's one of the best ways for you to get your new clients? You talked about word of mouth.
So there was a switch for me when I, instead of thinking of it as networking, I thought of it as relationship building. Relationship building, I've always done. I can do that. I know what that takes, and I can even systematize that a little bit to make sure that if there's someone that I'm not going to run into, that I just mark it on a tickler, on a calendar, and I have a little system to make sure that maybe at least once a season, I give them a shout, we go for a walk. Or they're on a regular, if they were looking for help a little more immediately, then call them a little more often. But to see it as first from an abundance mindset, and then stepping away from that, you know, who am I to be calling someone? They don't need me. Rather to understand that we all have gifts to share in this world. And so what can I help? By knowing more of what you're doing, maybe one of my clients needs what you're doing, so I should keep in touch with you so that I could be of more use as well. And in that same way, if I want to be thought of, then I should be top of mind and present. And that it just really changed things for me when I thought of it as relationship building rather than this foreign salesy networky thing. That I didn't know how to do and felt sort of superficial. And the vibration that I wanted to be working on was person to person, like our conversation today, really just a little bit deeper than that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And obviously I use the word networking because it's what's most commonly used.
It is. I mean, to point that out, it's just a switch, like a mindset switch for me that came with that.
Yeah. And I think too, when you're depending on the type of business you're doing, but I think with the type of work that we do, it's very important to what we do is to be out there and meeting people all the time. Do you have any other kind of tips for people that are sort of starting up in joining a chamber or BNI or some other kind of ways to build those relationships? Any other kind of advice?
Partly what I would say is to define your game. So when it's an open-ended all the time, I have to go to everything and bring home all the business cards and talk to all the people. Some people think that's really fun and that works for them. For others, it's just exhausting. And so it's a little bit like this wild, scattered thing. And it can really drain you and you can never feel like you've done enough. So identifying as early as you can to know that if you're going to go to an event of any kind, are there two or three people that you want to make sure you go find, you shake their hand, you look them in the eye, and you either establish a rapport or reconnect with someone. And so that when you leave an hour or two later, if you've done that, then that's success. That's what you needed to do. That doesn't solve the world's problems. It's not like you've created world peace in the last 90 minutes. But if that's what you needed to do, then that's what you did. So I think just taking it in bite-sized chunks and understanding then what that means. People need you. Whatever the services that you're providing, who are those people? How many of them do you need to connect with? So, you know, first step is protecting yourself and your own peace in doing this work. But then the next step is to think about what does that funnel look like? So, you know, these are words that I'm sure you use all the time in your marketing consultancy. But to think about if it kind of reverse engineer it. So if I know that for every client, I'll need to do 2 introductory meetings. And for that, maybe I'll need 10 introductions. And to get 10 introductions, you know, if how often do I need to interact with someone in order to do that math to get down there? So some of that is to be keeping track really early on of just who you're talking to and what's working and really paying attention to where your success is coming from, where the referrals, where your work, who are those people that you truly connect with, and do you have your marketing plan right? Or are you barking up the wrong tree?
And some of that is trial and error as you go.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. Just do it, right? Do it, jump off the cliff and fall off.
Yeah.
and try again.
Apply that analogy everywhere you can.
Oh, you know, it's true. In the beginning, I was so very precious about everything. I was sure that a common email sign off for me is here to help, Wendy. And was it going to be here to help exclamation mark or here to help comma? Well, I'd already used 2 exclamation marks. I tend to be an exclamation mark person, so it should definitely be a comma. But should I should show some excitement? Well, maybe, no, it's for sure an exclamation mark. Yeah, for sure. And so I'll take off an exclamation mark from up on top. I mean, you can dig yourself way down into these holes of self-doubt. And that's not bringing you anywhere. That goes nowhere good. No. So maybe just being a little less precious about your interactions, knowing that anybody who is, as they say, in the arena, like TR said, right? Anybody who's out there doing this, sees you. Mm-hmm. And the people that are going to be critiquing you are the people that are not. So
they're not for you.
Join in with the people that are out there on the field. Come on out and play.
And get out there and find out who they are.
Yeah. Who are they? And what do they need to hear from you? Not what do you want to tell them, but what do they need to hear from you?
Yeah. That's great advice. Another thing that I found later in life, though, I guess I always was kind of myself, you know, but maybe embarrassingly so, or feeling that way or worrying about being judged so much, and then finally realize that the key to success is just being authentic.
100%.
I see that.
That goes with the doing what we think we're supposed to do or what we should do or who we should be. And it's easier said than done. For sure. It is so much easier said than done. But don't we appreciate it in someone else? And don't we really see it? You know, because they're shining pretty brightly. You can see those people who are paying attention to themselves, who are attached to themselves before they're attached to somebody else. So whatever the ways are that you find that you can do that, I think they're good ways and it's time well spent.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So any other, like our original meeting was for a totally other purpose, but this has turned out to be for the entrepreneurial women feature of the Glens Falls Business Journal. And you're just a great role model for any women thinking of starting up their own business. Do you have any other bits of advice for someone that's just sort of thinking, you know, is this for me? How do I get started? What do you tell women in particular? But I'm sure it'll be helpful for men to hear this too.
I really think lean into people who can help you, and don't lean into the people who don't know. So it's easy. A couple of the things that I did was that I got a SCORE mentor in the beginning, free, very helpful. These are usually retired or semi-retired business people in the community who want to help folks get into entrepreneurship and get into the business world. The second is that I took a course through SUNY Adirondack to make sure I had my bases covered. I think, and you may know better than I think it's called the MAP course now. It's a small business startup.
There's a couple different ones. Yeah,
I'm
I
pretty
forget
sure there's
what.
still one that's through SUNY Adirondack, and it's, I'll say Tuesday nights, whatever night it is, but it's like 8 Tuesday nights, and you get a different topic each night, with an expert that comes in, a marketing expert, an insurance expert, a legal expert, a finance expert, all of that. And through that course, they have you build a business plan. So if you haven't done that, then maybe you're in more of a hobby than a business. So think about the business plan. And then what I meant about asking people who would know is it's lovely if your mom thinks you've got a great business plan.
Helps.
It helps, right? Now, if your mom is an entrepreneur who's been very successful and knows what she's looking at, then that's fantastic. But if she's just saying that whatever you're doing is wonderful and good, then please rein in that praise, like just, you know, absorb all of that wonderful energy and then go ask somebody who would know, because you can take it. It's okay. It doesn't hurt that much. And you need information from people who have walked this path. Not just the ones that you might have been hanging around with in a previous life. So that can be a challenging thing to think about. But I want you to think about who you are taking advice from, who you're hanging around with, what sort of vibration and energy and culture. There are places where what you're doing is normal. So hang out with people who think it's normal and cool and fun, not those that, you know, are going to reinforce this change, but rather reinforce where you're headed. I hope that's helpful or made sense.
That is key, I think, and that a lot of times that you do need, it's like if like I say this in like my weight loss videos too, is that sometimes you need to find a new group of people that are more fitting with what your new goals are. You know,
And just
because your
incorporate that.
friend.
It doesn't mean you're leaving everybody behind. It just means that if you're trying to quit smoking, don't be hanging out with people that are smoking.
Exactly.
That's just logical, right? You got to find ways to make new paths forward in your life. And it's probably not just the business alone. It's probably more than that.
You need to surround yourself with more people that have those similar kinds of goals and experiences so that they're supporting what you want to do.
And sometimes that means getting a coach or finding a group. So I know those are things that you do, Anne, is that sort of work with individuals. I do too. Waldron Works offers most of what's really taking off is the EOS implementation. EOS just works.
That's
So
great.
companies with leadership teams or that should have a leadership team, you're growing. Most of mine have 10 employees or more, although not all. Sometimes it is individual coaching that's more helpful and gets you to a point where you're at, where you're ready for EOS or for a larger system. So that's something that we offer through Waldron Works. And then also some projects and some speaking engagements and such that are useful and helpful to people along the way.
Get you in front of the right people.
And just surround yourself with those folks, whatever those resources are that you need, know that you're worth it.
So, what's the best way for someone to find out more about you and what you do?
Sure. My website, my EOS website is the best way. So even if you just Google EOS Worldwide, Wendy Waldron, you will find my microsite. See my picture on the top, and it explains. And so you can go right through there to either contact me directly or download some of my resources or just check out the work that I'm doing in the community, with business owners like yourselves.
That's great.
And I'm sure you'll include my email. And honestly, just give me a call. We're all on our phones all the time. So if you're watching this and you just think you'd like need more of Wendy, I make myself as easy to find as I can.
That is great. Thank you so much for your time. I'm sure this is a lot of great advice for any woman that's looking to get started in being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, here to help. Exclamation mark. Thanks, Anne.
Thank you for joining me in this episode of Building Success Stories. Are you ready to take your business to the next level? I've got you covered. Visit my website, AnnDonnellySuccessStories.com, to access additional resources and sign up for my newsletter. And to work with me directly, visit AnnDonnelly.com to learn more about my services as a fractional COO and business consultant. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform and never miss an episode. Until next time, keep building your success story.